Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's Shift and Steer. Welcome here. It's just me, Brad Fanshawe, and Double A Ron today.
I was going to say, buddy? What? Is my internet not working?
But hey, welcome to the party, pal.
Right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Our buddy Matt, the moderator, he's gone today. He's in Indy for PRI. Now, I understand Matt had never been to PRI. This would be his first visit. Yeah. And you've never been either, you said?
I've never been.
It's totally different vibe than SEMA. I've gone a few times and much smaller, but it's just the vibe because it's all about racing. I mean, you know, it's...
Oh, really?
It's hardcore racing. I went 1 year, and I have to tell the tale sometime, but it was a night on the town with a bunch of famous race drivers that I know, top fuel champions and funny car guys, and it was disastrous. I stumbled to my room, and when I say, all I will say is I found myself standing, waiting for the light to change when I was walking back to my hotel. And I said, something's wet. And I looked down, I was standing in the sprinklers, and I was, I had that many shots with the boys. So,
it wasn't a stoplight, right? It wasn't a stoplight.
Man. But anyways, hey, before we get started with today's show, where we're going to talk about 4-time IndyCar champion, Al Unser. He passed away. We're going to talk about him a little bit. We're going to talk about VW microbuses. We're going to talk about amphibious vehicles and talk about EV vehicles and a few other things. I'm going to give you an update on the mezzanine. But first, I want to tell you about Good Guys, because you can become a member of Good Guys today and join a worldwide community of car enthusiasts just like you. Membership includes 12 issues of the award-winning Good Guys Gazette magazine, full of coverage from this year's events, how-tos, and classifieds. And let me tell you, their classifieds are pretty cool in the back of that, too. Discounts on Good Guys event tickets and merchandise. You also get discounts on theme parks, travel, concerts, and more. You'll get an entry into to win their 1986 C10 giveaway truck, built by Goolsby Customs. It's available to domestic and international fans, so go there and check it out. Membership starts at just $25 a year. Get your membership by visiting join.good-guys.com. Join.good-guys.com. And tell them the guys over at Shift and Steer sent you. I also want to tell you, it's getting to be that time of year, Aaron. You know, I don't know. You live in such a mild climate up there in Tahoe where never rains, never snows. It's just
nothing
sunny.
Going on.
Sunny and 70 degrees, 365 days a year.
I think we're missing some ozone.
but not everybody does. So they need people like Trico wiper blades. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers from the harshest weather. Even if it actually ever rained cats and dogs, which I can't imagine. I mean, it would be like this. It would just be thump, 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 thump. And those.
I ain't buying it.
I wonder where that ever came from. It's raining cats and dogs. Why wasn't it? It's raining cattle and horses, or it's raining varmints.
I want to say I just listened to a podcast and they talked about it, but I must not have been paying attention.
Maybe you should Google that while I'm finishing up the ad read.
Yeah.
So whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. So just make sure if you want maximum windshield contact, Trico is the place to go. And then you got your car, you got your house, you got your garage, you got all that. You got your cats, your dogs, but you're going to need insurance. And do you own or rent a home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's GEICO.com. Geico.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
The reigning cats and dogs thing, that's a rabbit hole, man. I think there's
it's
a lot of
not an
Greek,
easy question.
No, there's a lot of Greek terminology and old unused words, and it's yeah, I'm not.
I heard it came from the Roman days when emperors would throw cats and dogs down at the people that were rioting below.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of language in here that I'm not going to try to pronounce. There's a lot of expressions.
Well, I'll have to figure that one out because now I want to know. Now I'm on a mission.
It's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, but Wikipedia is also asking for money. So, you know.
Meaning cats and dogs. Oh, they're always asking for money.
Yeah, but it makes you feel bad. You know, it's like, I use Wikipedia. I mean, should I contribute?
Are you on Wikipedia? Do you have a Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. I don't even know who did it. I didn't do it.
Right.
It happened when I think maybe the producers when I was on Car Warriors or something, because it popped up about that time.
So. Yeah, the last time I checked or someone told
and that
me.
That looks like it's the last time it was updated, too.
Yeah. No, actually, mine's gone. So because I asked for it to be revised and blah, 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 blah. Because it said I was like Armenian and it said Kari was my wife or some weirdness. So I was like, whoa, you got it. And Cayman was my daughter. It's like, no, dad has his own Wikipedia and it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
So don't confuse them. Mine was like a hybrid of like three of us.
But it's weird because people just put stuff on, you know, and it's weird.
We'll have to fix that.
The one thing that I had revised once, it had, you know, those celebrity net worth things.
Oh yeah.
There was one that got out there and it was just, I was like, oh God, I could only wish, you know, they're always so overblown. And I was like, that would be so nice. But it was like, ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous, ridiculous. And then I had a guy go, oh yeah, I saw how much you're worth. And I'm like, those things, no, you can't believe those
things are jive.
I'm worth way more than that.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, I'm out there with celebrity worth and it just talks about all these revenue streams. And I'm like, what, where do they even get
this? I don't even know where they get them. But the bad thing is that then when they write stuff, and I'm not talking about you or I, but I mean, big stars, they actually go to those and go, yeah, come on. But anyways, let's just get it out of the way. Not to get it out of the way, but I mean,
right.
Allanser Sr., he passed away at 82 years old. And I mean, the you know what? He comes from a different era of racing. And such a cool area. I mean, the guys like Al Unser and Bobby Unser and the Mears brothers, and you know, you've got Andretti and all these guys. When they raced cars, man, they, you know what? They worked on them at home. They didn't have big race shops, and they were, you know, probably not good, but they didn't have the safety that they have now. And
right.
These guys had balls. I mean, they were out there, and probably one of the best stories about Al Unser Sr. and his Indy wins is his very last win. Have you ever heard that story?
About I don't know.
So first of all, he was at the time, the oldest person. I may still be the oldest person to ever win the Indy 500 at 47 years old. But he came to qualifying that year and did not have a ride. He didn't have any, you know, and Danny Ungaius wrecked his car in qualifying, and he was driving for Penske, and he totaled the car. It was unrepairable. And, you know, this was before the time when the big team said, oh, we'll just go get the other chassis.
Right. You know? Well, I mean, fair.
And, and so he's hanging around. He goes, let's work a deal, Roger, and I'll race. And he goes, well, we wrecked our car. And he goes, no, I got a car. And he goes, you do? And he goes, well, why don't you have it here? He goes, well, I didn't have any sponsor or anything. So Roger and him do a deal. And Unser gets Penske to get his trailer and his crew. And they go over to a hotel across town where his car from a few years ago was on display in the lobby because it was in the 500 week. They open up the doors, roll it out, take it back, prep it, and he goes and he wins the Indy 500.
Oh, I haven't heard this story. Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Those are like, no, that kind of stuff would never happen nowadays, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But it was just so cool. It's like, you know, well, I got a car.
Wow.
Yeah, it's across town at this hotel on display. And, you know,
it's such a shame that those stories that can't be told in modern days, you know, it's like, I mean, maybe, but it's so unlikely. It's these legends, you know, and they're kind of the generation of our parents, you know, these legends are it's that second generation maybe, or the second phase of, you know, like we don't call Dad one of the originals, you know, in rock and roll. He was like the next wave, you know. But it's like the next wave. It's like they had such great stories, you know, because the first wave, the world was so different. I mean, leather helmets and, you know, the guys sitting there pumping the, you know, pumping the fuel as they're taking corners.
Wait a minute. Are we talking rock and roll or are we talking, you were talking about your dad. Then you said
same
leather
stuff.
Helmets. And I imagined your
same,
dad on stage
stuff.
In a leather helmet. I was like, what the hell?
No, I'm talking about generational changes, but I
there
I think
are
he,
some
he was,
stories I've heard though about backstage antics and leather helmets.
Well, those were a different type of helmet.
That's what I mean.
always wearing a helmet. Yeah, but you know, it's so incredible to hear these stories and see it. And you're right. You know, these were the real men of men. You know, when you were racing and cars and motorcycles and this whole world, it's like. These guys were really, really like tough.
Oh yeah, they were. Well, first of all, they had to be racers, but they also had to be engineers and they had to be mechanics. And you know, unlike today, where we know some drivers and they're great. I mean, they're awesome, but they're drivers. You know, I'm going to go in my motorhome. You guys get my car prepped, and you know. Back then, those guys worked on their cars, brought them to, drove the truck and trailer. You know, like I talked to Don Perdome and, you know, tells stories about, we loaded the trailer. Then we got in the, you know, won the race and got in the truck and trailer because we had to be to the next race, you know. I mean, and, you know, that was back when they did exhibition runs on a Wednesday night to pay the bills, then had to be somewhere else for the race on Friday, you know. I mean, and when you look at like, Unser, first of all, racing family. I mean, you know, with Bobby and everybody, and little Al, but he went on, he had 39 wins in USAC and kart open wheel competition. And I mean, that's like tremendous, you know. I mean, he won the 1970 USEC championship, 83 and 85 kart championships. So, I mean, this guy was a winner. And they said that, you know, he was really soft-spoken, a real gentleman. But when it came to winning, this dude was focused on one thing. And it was whatever it took to win. And, you know, I mean, it was awesome. Do you remember in the 80s, used to be on Wide World of Sports when they did the IROC races?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the wide-body Camaros, yep. Like those 70s. Yep. I guess this – I take it back. It was the late 70s, early 80s, because I remember like the 79, 80 Camaros, the big trash can flares. And
oh, they yeah.
would have all different colors. And it would yeah. be like, you know, Al Unser, Bobby Unser, right. Andretti. And it was just so cool when they did those, you know. That's yeah, a totally. That's a past era where they would mix NASCAR with road race. And I mean, it was bitching.
You know, I've been watching, or I just finished this newest season of the Fassbender's Road to Le Mans, you know, with Porsche. And it's so interesting because I actually met him at Ferrari Challenge when he was driving a Ferrari back then. And a really nice guy, Michael Fassbender.
Oh, okay.
And and we talked about painting a helmet. And and it's really interesting to see where he's evolved to, because he was kicking ass here in the U.S. And then he gets to Europe and he's like, yeah, you know, you're okay. You know, the Europeans are just next level. But it was really interesting to watch because it's so much about physical fitness and so much about mental fitness. So it's like, it's
just like podcasting in that respect.
Yeah. Just like podcasting. But it was really interesting because you know, you don't always get to appreciate that. And it's interesting to watch. It's a well-done documentary. It's fun. It's emotional. It definitely does a good job, but watching, you know, how the teammanship works and how, you know, like you were saying, the drivers are drivers. They're hired drivers and that's their sole purpose. You have all these different engineers and managers and people behind the scenes tuning and tracing and tracking every single little detail to get the most out of the performance. It's become so technical. I mean, this is, you know, what would these cars be in American terms, like IMSA, right? It would be like the IMSA theory.
IMSA cars, but they're just degrees.
Oh, I mean, yeah. But I mean, it's so incredible to see how technical this stuff is and how much engineering is behind it. And then you have all the traditional things like getting the team together and switching drivers and the whole mental thing of getting in the game and finding your rhythm and relaxing into it. But I mean, it's so strategic with three drivers. It's really interesting. It's like he's the kind of the, I don't want to say novice, but he's the green guy, goes out, you know, has to get up there to a certain level. Then they put in like the semi-retired old school guy that goes in there and just plows through everything and gets up, you know, to P2 or something. And then you got the, like the other guy, the third guy, who's like the champion guy. Like he's the one, you know, that has to finish the race, you know, but it's like, it's so funny, but it's a neat journey. You know, it's neat to watch, like, how intense it is. It's not like the old days weren't intense, but it's stuff that we relate to more. It's like, oh, I gotta fix this before the race tomorrow. And then I gotta drive all night and then I gotta get there. And, you know, it's like, we kind of relate to that as privateers, you know?
Yeah.
Even when we were racing motorcycles, that's what we did. We slung t-shirts, you know, just to get, so we didn't have any room for sponsors left. The bike was so covered with stickers, we had to sling these lame t-shirts to try to make it gas money to the next race, you know, sleep in the truck. And
that's those were good old days. I mean, yeah. That's racing. It's it really is. Hey, speaking of events, this is totally about as off the charts as I can from, but I'm just going to bring it up because for those listeners that are into MMA fighting, you know, fighting in the ring,
right.
My friends over at LFA, which is kind of like the farm league for MMA, they're in Minnesota on Friday night as we record this. And guess who the sponsor is? It's Bond Speed Wheels and Man Seeks Adventure. What? So if you go to LFA on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, stuff like that, they started posting this morning and we're listed. Later on, there'll be some cool photos I'll post of the ring where the bumpers, where the guys and the girls get their heads bashed into. we'll have Bond Speed Wheels on there and we'll be talking about Man Seeks Adventure. It'll be a big screen with, and we're going to do a couple other events this year. And it's going to be pretty cool because, you know, Bond Speed Wheels, we've got, you know, a large customer base and a lot of these guys go to events. I've gone to a few of them. Dave and I have gone for Man Seeks Adventure and they're a lot of fun. I mean, it's amazing, dude. Have you ever been to one?
I don't know.
It, not what I expected. Okay. I mean, it was a really cool group of people. We had a table right down front. But what amazed me, the guys I expected to be badasses, you know, but some of the women that fight there, they're badasses.
Wow.
I wouldn't get in the ring with them. I'm telling you, I wouldn't. And it's pretty incredible. But everybody over at LFA, you know, we're helping support. So check it out. LFA on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And it's the Minnesota event, the one in Minneapolis, and it's happening as we record this on December the 10th. So you can check it out.
Wow, cool, Brad. Good job.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome.
So kind of moving on past, Big Alan like that. So I had an idea here, Aaron. Have you ever seen in Detroit the fist, you know, the big famous
the big foam. Wait, the big foam.
Not the foam. No, I'm not talking about the number ones. Downtown Detroit, the big fist. It's a bronze statue of a fist.
Oh, wow. No, I haven't seen it.
Seriously, you've never seen this?
No, I can't remember last time I was in Detroit.
I mean,
was probably
my cousin just posted a photo of himself next to it when he was there with the Stones. Mick's got a picture of him standing there.
I'll have to look at it.
Jeez, I'm surprised. Now, everybody, I think this is a bashable moment.
I haven't seen it. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Brad, I live up in the mountains. I don't get out much. You know, I see foxes and deer and bears and you know, bobcats. And, you know, did you see the bobcat? Oh, you didn't see the bobcat? Oh, yeah.
No. Talking about that.
All right, the big fist. What about the big fist?
Oh yeah, let me finish one story before I start another, eh?
Right.
That's kind of sticking with the plan. I thought that could be a good paint scheme. Get rid of the dolphin. They get a big fist that just goes into the water like that. And what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Ram into a big boat?
Like splash, splash. And tell them what we're talking about.
I'm sorry. I totally screwed up your lead-in. Look at that. I'm sorry, Brad.
Since it's already messed up and we've confused everyone, let me just tell you that back to the bear subject. This morning on Instagram here in L.A., there was a bear in Monrovia, okay? And they showed video of it on a home camera. And there's two of them. One's laying back in the bushes, and the other one is creeping up, and then it launches. And have you ever seen a bear launch and jump? Those things can jump far. I didn't realize for such a big animal. And totally attacks and kills.
Wow.
He killed right in the front yard of this guy's house.
Really?
Yeah. And do you know what he killed?
What?
The inflatable reindeer. He thought it was a real deer. He jumped and it just goes hilarious. And the bear looks around like, where'd that thing go?
You know, that's hilarious. I've seen a bear leap into a tree reindeer. about about 6 feet up. I said I've seen a bear leap into a tree about 6 feet up, and that's very impressive stuff. You think those are just big, cumbersome, you know, sloppy animals.
Yeah, like
it's
just going to lope along. And
they are not at all, man. They can show some strength and precision that is really, like, surreal. Oh, that's funny. Well, what you're talking about earlier with the fist was, so Sea Breacher is what we were trying to get at. A Sea Breacher showed up at the shop for me to repaint and kind of partner in and do some marketing. And so if you've never seen these things, look it up. It's called Sea Breacher because it breaches the water. So it's a semi-submersible powered by like a supercharged Sea-Doo. If I get that wrong, I'm sorry, guys. I got to do my research. But they're just awesome. But they're an enclosed boat. So you basically slide the canopy over. It looks like a fighter pilot canopy, you know, from a fighter plane. And it seals up. And you submerge it underwater. And then they're so buoyant that they launch out of the water. So with propulsion. So it's really, really, really impressive. I've ridden in a few of them. I've done some stuff with them in the past. My buddy Rob Inns is one of the is the owner. And I took him for a ride in my Morgan. He went out and bought one. He loved it so much. But it's been a good buddy friendship for a while. But so this one came out of Florida. It's shaped as a dolphin. So there's like a shark, an orca, a dolphin, a sailfin fish. They have a couple different ones, and they're actually meant to do different things. So the dolphin has a certain parameter of kind of tricks it can do, to where the sailfin has another trick it can do, and the shark. I think the shark is, to my knowledge, is the most maneuverable. But my buddy Joel that has one, he got his so high up in the air. It kicked backwards and he landed on the canopy and actually hurt himself and I think broke the canopy. So they did some re-engineering, but these things can really, if you look at them on, I mean, they're fully out of the water. And most of the time, you know, they're just a little.
You had a video
like,
when they had you, they brought one by for you to play with.
Yeah. Right? I gotta say, man, they are super fun.
Oh, they look fun.
Yeah. Not necessarily one trick pony. I can see it being a chore after a while, because just the conversations you have when you pull up in one, you know, you wouldn't be able to get it in the water for, you know, a week.
Now you're going to repaint that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm working on a repaint. We're
a
doing
golden
some stuff,
fist, right?
Yeah. The golden fit, the bronze fit. We're doing the bronze fist. You know, cause Detroit, you know, great water, sports in Detroit. it's a really neat thing. I'm really excited, but just having it in the shop is so surreal because, you know, I have all these cars and motorcycles in the shop. And then it's like, what is that? It's like, I don't know. I didn't know where the battery is. I did a thing with C-Tech and my joke was, where's the battery in this thing?
Under the dorsal fin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there is a big canopy behind the canopy. There's a big box. So it probably is under there somewhere, or under a seat, or I don't know. I ain't messing with it. It's not mine technically. So I ain't messing with it, but. I'm excited.
So you're going to paint it like a polar bear, right?
Yeah. We're going to paint a polar bear because, you know, polar bears are in the water too. Now, I think I'm not going to do something really aquatic. I think I'll do something with fluidity. You know, I'll do some movement of paint and color. But there's a thing that I do that I was kind of known for when I was painting on a more regular basis, automotive painting on a regular basis. So I think I'm going to kind of turn back the years and jump back into that and do something that's kind of, you know, prehistoric slash race slash all these different things. Just because they're just a show thing. They're so exotic. I think having an equally exotic paint scheme would be kind of fun. And that there's a couple out there that look like fighter planes, which is really neat to see. But most of them are sharks, orcas, or dolphins.
Is there one that you've ever seen that is just wrapped in like Mylar reflective? No, I'm asking. Because it would look crazy.
I know. You know, I haven't seen any that are wrapped. All of these have been painted. So Rob's got this really cool In Space, I think it's called. His last name's Inns. Uh-huh. So In Space, where they make them, I think, up near Reading or up around Reading. And he's got a really good group of painters up there that do some really, really impressive paint jobs.
and they've done some neat stuff. So I got to say, I haven't seen one that's wrapped.
Everyone, can you imagine one just all like reflective?
All reflective, like, chrome.
You see that thing popping out of the water? And
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they lose sight of it, and they're looking up higher in the air.
They're like going,
did it launch?
I knew UFOs came from the ocean. I knew they came from the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Chrome would be fun.
Yeah, chrome that's really fun. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a neat thing. So
you know what
really
you can tow it with?
The Isetta.
You know, no. You can tow it with Volkswagen. Says that they're going to do that retro-looking electric microbus,
and that's yes, the United I saw States. That. That's so cool. I love that thing.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, they're saying that they're also, you know, they haven't really given us a lot of facts yet, but they're saying that it's going to be rugged, and meaning that, you know, you can take it, you know, on the back roads and stuff like that and use it, you know, for your weekends.
Yeah.
And, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, they always showed it before at the beach with surfboards. And I think they kind of realized that, you know, hey, maybe we got to say that this is for more than just, you know, the beach goer, but,
camping.
It's fun. It's totally different than anything else. You know, it's
totally fun, but it's so Volkswagen. Like when you look at it, it's still, I mean, you know, from a mile away that it's a Volkswagen, especially with a two-tone or a bow tie paint job, you know, it's so cool.
So we'll have to see what the details price wise and all that are coming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got to say, you know, in the last year, the electric revolution seems to be really getting some traction, and we're seeing a lot of stuff in the electric world, you know, which we were wondering, you know, a couple of years ago when we were at this and discussing it, we're like, yeah, okay, well, you know, where are we going? Where are we going? And now, like, every manufacturer is doing something, whether it's a hybrid on more of the supercar end and full electric on, you know, the rest of the stuff. It's pretty impressive. I gotta say, I wish I was better with electrical, because I would definitely jump in that world, because I've got a lot of fun little vehicles like Isettas and stuff. But until the battery technology changes and I build more confidence with wiring, I ain't touching it. I'm watching Throttle on YouTube, you know, and these guys they're doing an electric, oh, which car is it? A 370 ZX or something, you know, with Tesla. And man, you know, this guy's going, okay, I'm taking this, you know, I'm taking the main harness. And it's like 8 inches in diameter and all these little pin clips. And I mean, there's so much to know about cooling and heating and all the computer systems around. I'm lost. It's like, I'm not even having fun watching it anymore. I'm just like,
It's not just, oh, we're going to plop this in and do that. No, there's a lot.
Hook up some car batteries and step on it, you know.
And the other things I talked to a guy about recently was that people can get really hurt because they don't realize
how much
power is going through there. They just like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, start, you know. And, you know, you can electrocute yourself easy. Yeah.
Well, Rich rebuilds. What did he brought something home one day and all of a sudden a bunch of fire trucks show up because the damn thing got on fire just sitting. It just that the lithium ion batteries just got hot and caught on fire.
Yeah.
And they couldn't put it out. They're like, we're not putting that out. Shit,
you might have to build one yourself, Aaron, because if you want a Ford F-150 Lightning.
Oh, right.
They announced first that their waiting list had got up to 3 years.
Well,
now today they announced, I turned on, when I'm getting ready in the morning, I always turn on the financial network and watching it, and they go, oh, Ford announced today that they have ceased taking orders for the Ford F-150 Lightning. Okay, I got to question this.
Wow.
Why? Because if you've got people who want them, why don't you get them committed? Because, you know, you take an order, now that guy's committed to waiting, and if he signs and goes, I acknowledge that I'm waiting 4 years or whatever, because now they can book out. It also says that guy's not going to go buy a Rivian. We know he's not going to go buy a Chevy Silverado, because Chevy announced that they're not even going to be out till 2023. So, you know, it's, I would say, if I was a shareholder of Ford, which I'm not, I would say, wait a minute, take as many orders as you can get, book some deposits. I mean, Tesla does, and it works for them. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, but Tesla's so much, I mean, I want to say niche, even though that they become more mainstream, but it's like it's an F-150. It's like, are you really gonna wait 3 years for an F-150?
It's
like,
say that because Matt's not here today. I know if Matt was here,
I am a Ford guy too. I'm a Ford guy
no,
too.
No, I know.
I used to have Fords.
But they've obviously got excitement because they have all these guys that have booked it for 3 years. So why not 5 years? You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the statistics say that they don't commit for 5 years, that 3 years is the cutoff. After that, you know, they're not interested.
They get a focus group, and the focus group said,
The focus group of millennials said that.
The focus group of guys who already have that were standing outside going, I'd never own an electric car. They're the ones they brought in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got to say, speaking of Rivian, they're out now and they're starting to show up, and I can't wait to see one in person. I'm a big fan of Rivian. I know I mentioned it before, but if I go full electric, I think I might start there. I'm a big fan. I know I keep talking about a little Fiat 500 electric, which they've gone up like $6,000. They're 13 grand now. They were six, you know, 4 months ago. So I'm over it. But and plus it's winter. We literally got, you know, 10 inches of snow, and Sunday night we're supposed to get it by the foot for the next few days. So that's going to be fun. But so it's not electric territory right now. But I'm a big fan of those Rivians, man. I don't know. Doug,
they're
Doug
looking
Gabriel,
good. I want to drive one. I want to see them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it suits my lifestyle and interest a little more, you know. But I don't know. I'm curious.
Let me give a quick update on my mezzanine. It is done. The mezzanine portion is done. The floors are all in. I put in all of the speed rail. If you're not familiar with speed rail, I know Aaron is because that's what every concert stage is built out of. But it's this black piping with this great polished aluminum fittings that connect everything. And I put that speed rail all the way around. So the very last step, I've already started putting stuff up there. I'll put a picture up, but I already started putting stuff up there. It's going to fill up way faster than I wanted it to, but it'll serve its purpose. But the next thing is I'm going to build a metal staircase, and that will go up. I'll start welding and cutting and doing all that, hopefully between Christmas and New Year's.
So you're going to do a custom staircase and not a prefab?
No, I'm going to build my own, yeah.
Man, you're going to engineer that?
Yeah.
I ain't going up the stairs.
No. It's actually, you take 4x4 square tubing.
Right.
And those are your main supports.
Sure, your vertical support.
At the top.
Yeah.
And then it's I-beam. It's 12-inch I-beam. And it comes down. You cut it at an angle. It bolts directly to the floor.
So like a center line?
What's that?
You're doing like a center line?
No,
stair?
two outer ones.
Oh, okay.
And then the stairs themselves, there's a company that makes metal staircases, and they conveniently put up a video on how to assemble theirs and showed exactly how they do it. The stairs are 11 inches deep, 7 inches tall, and the way they're bent on the brake is the very first one places down, you tack weld it in. The next one goes over the top of that one. You leave a little L bend of about 1 inch tall. The one goes, you go around the back, you tack it, then you put, and each one locates the other one as you go up. Huh. And they're made out of steel diamond plate. And I think I'm going to go just smooth steel and then put what some people think of as skateboard decking, but you know, the
grip tape.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, if you're going to weld it, just make sure you get all the scale off those I-beams. You really want to make sure, like the Detroit Fist, that you get deep penetration on that weld.
No, definitely. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pre-assemble the whole thing.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to tear it apart, have it powder coated, and then bring it back and weld it, and then put all the tape on. And then I'll be done. Then I'll have to put railing up one side of that. I only have to put it up one side because the other side is a wall. So I don't have to. But then I'll be done, and I'll be able to go up and down it. Have a place for more junk.
More junk. So about this time next year, you'll have some stairs.
No, I'm gonna have those done I would love to say I was going to get it done in one weekend. I won't, because it's a lot of bending, a lot of assembly, a lot of this and that. But I'm going to have the basic beams in by New Year's, and then by the end of January, I should have the stairs all in and everything. And then I'll have it, and then it's on to the next project.
But now, Brad, no one's going back to the back of your shop. You don't take people back there. So you didn't want to just do a quickie little set of wood stairs, you know?
No, I like to have stuff nice. And I am redoing my shop so that which leads me into the next thing, which I have a new project I decided to do in 2022. And that is my 67 Chevelle SS that I've had, my very first car I ever owned. That in 1980, I took it apart to make it into a pro street car. I got it on a body dolly, took it all apart, bought all the parts, and then never did it. And it has sat on a body dolly in my building in Arizona since I moved to California. And it's now a low mileage original. I'm glad I didn't cut it up. But what I'm going to do is I've got a really good, you'll have to hear what I'm going to do, but I've got a really cool theme for it, what I'm going to do. And this year I'm going to make it a project and probably, you know, film it and do everything and make it kind of like how I'm doing it. So
you're going to paint it like a dolphin?
No, like a big gold fist. Big gold.
There you go. Gold. Big bronze fist.
We're a gold finger. It's going to be gold fist. The car is orange. It's orange.
Oh wow!
And I'm gonna paint it orange. I had it orange in high school, and I'm gonna leave it orange. I'm not gonna put it back.
Was that the original color?
Oh heck no! Nobody had orange cars back then. I mean, everybody had red, black, blue. You know, and I went down and was like, always, I got to do something different. And I went to the books. You used to go to the paint store and look through all the chip books, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I found 74 Vega orange.
Oh, wow.
And when I showed up with my Krager SS's and 74 Vega orange, man, everybody knew that car. It was like orange Chevelle, you know? So, but, now you got another project, don't you?
Yeah. So I know I've been talking about it, but I finally, traded an old motorcycle and picked up my new project. It's not that much of a project, which is nice. You know, I have three Isettas, and they are projects. I mean, they are deep projects. They've been sitting since 64. I'm committed to them, but you know, it's a little harder to get stuff these days too. I talked to Isettas R Us, awesome old German couple, and very knowledgeable. And he's like, yes, those are getting harder to find. I let my last set go, you know, to a show car. really cool old guy. But yeah, I ordered some new rubber trim and just some replacement stuff because it's old and I'm going to repaint it, make it look nice. But yeah, I picked up an Isetta 600. Now that's a 1958 Isetta 600. If you're not familiar with those, they're not the three wheeled 300s, which are actually a four wheel, but they have a narrow axle. So they're kind of triangular, but no, this looks from the back end, you'd think it's a Fiat 500, a vintage one. They're kind of similar, but it's a limo. So it's got a twin engine in the back. It was called, quote, a limo because it carries passengers. So you have a front driver.
It was a long wheelbase.
Right, because it's a long wheelbase. And it opens like the traditional Isetta. And then on the right side door, or on the right side, there's a door. and some of them are suicide doors. This one's a standard. And then there's a bench. So you can fit six people. Yeah, okay. You could fit six very lightweight, small, skinny people in this little Isetta, and it's powered by a little force, a little two-cylinder twin. Now, the gentleman I got it from another guy who put a VW motor in there. So it's got a four-cylinder twin in the back.
It's a VW flat motor?
A VW flat motor out of a Type 3. So it's a Type 3 VW motor. Probably running, I don't know, I think they run about 70 horsepower or something, 65, 70 horsepower.
And he says it's becoming an Uber driver with this.
Yeah, I'll be Ubering. Actually, I'm more Lyft. It's Lyft up here. So I'm really excited. It runs, it drives, it stops. It's got all the glass. It's got most all the trim. It needs to be tidied up. It's not even really in patina. It's in clown car mode right now. I haven't sent you a picture. It's red and blue.
Okay,
and
you got to send us a picture that we can put on the Shift and Steer Instagram.
Yeah, it's totally fun. So I'm really excited. I'm going to have to rebuild the floor in the back because it was cut up to get the motor in to weld the frame. Instead of taking the body off the frame, they just cut the floor out. So I have to replace the floor. I don't think it took up any more space. So I think I'm going to try to put the original floor back in. And I'll see where the structure lies. I've got some good metal that I might replace. But I'll replace all the rubber because I'll take the windows out when I paint it. I'm going to paint it a Mopar gray, which I'm a big fan of that gray. I bought a gallon of single stage a while back, so I'm going to use it. And then I'm going to have a lighter version prepared, like kind of a light seal gray, and that'll be the top. It's got a nice parting line. And then I'll do cream dash and steering wheel, and then maybe cream wheels. And then oxblood interior. So have that nice cool red interior. I think it's a real classy, yeah, it's Italian. Good. It's more of an Italian thing, but I think it's a real classy color combo. It's still kind of hot roddy because of the VW. The thing feels, when you let that clutch out, man, it almost feels like the front end's going to come off the ground. It really has a lot of torque for a car that weighs 1,100 pounds or less right now. And it's super fun. So, yeah, I'm getting the front. I might do a 700 upgrade. So when I was talking to the Isetta people, he was like, you know, you should consider doing a 700, a BMW 700. Don't know if you ever heard of them. They're kind of a Corvair looking thing. A rear engine. It had that boxer rear engine. And but they had a very similar front end design, but it was heavier duty because the car was heavier duty. So he says it has, 12-inch wheels because this has 10, which is a challenge between the 14-inch wheels on the back. It's too much of a difference, as you would say. Has better brakes, bigger brakes, obviously, and a heavier spring. Because I got to say, when I hit the brakes, that thing dives. It feels like it dives a foot, So rebuilding those little springs, I think it's still going to be inadequate. So he's going to give me a price on that. Hopefully it's not too much because it's all used stuff. But so that's a bolt-on front end. It's all the same stuff. So just a little bit bigger. So that's about it. But why are
you cool? Yeah, I'm looking at one right now.
Aren't they cool? If you like that sort of thing, which I do, but it is. It's really cool. So. Yeah, I'll be posting that pretty soon here. I just posted the seat breacher, so I didn't want to take away from that. But I'll definitely post some more stuff real soon here.
Cool. Well, send me a picture, and I'll put it up on Shift and Steer so everybody can see it too. And,
oh, you got it. You got it.
And
yeah, man. So that's the newest project. So I'm painting a seat breacher and painting an Isetta. And I'll change the exhaust too when I send you this exhaust.
And Brad, with all that snow up there, you should take one of those Isettas and just put the body over the top of one of those long wheelbase racing snowmobiles.
You know, it's funny you say that. I've been looking at maybe converting one of the other Isettas to a track.
That's what I mean, one of those. Yeah.
And I don't even think I'd have to do a long wheelbase. You know, they let them go so cheap up here because they do rentals. And you can get like a 5-year-old rental for pennies on the dollar. And some of those have a little longer track and wider in the front, longer in the rear for stability for a new rider, And Yeah, I was thinking, man, that might be kind of fun. You know, you open really it, cool. you basically just make it sit on an existing, you know, ski. So you just take some of the body work off and just build a framework so the body just sits on it.
Yeah,
and you open the door and climb on a normal, you know. So yeah, I mean, it would be fun. It would be unique. Yeah, it'd be very loud inside. Yeah. That'd be for sure, and very unsafe, and probably very top heavy. But
specifics. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I think when you're just with the shell, if you took the windows out, you'd probably only be about 300 pounds. So it's not too bad. They're only 750 fully done, and I said at 300, they're only 750 pounds. So. Yeah, I think if you take everything out, cut out, add some structure, you know, yeah, you're probably about 300-400 pounds max.
Cool. Hmm. Hey, let's wrap this episode up with the thought of an ice
already
snowmobile. Yeah, I know. We're over an hour, dude. We can keep going, but you know,
let the messages come.
Hey everybody, wanna let you know that Bond Speed Wheels is doing their end of year sale. We do it once a year because it only comes, it's only end of the year once a year, Aaron. That's why we only do it once a year. But it's
well, buy three wheels.
It's buy three wheels at regular price and get one of your front wheels free, any style, any size. And it's, we get people that wait all year for this, and we crank that starts this weekend. So make sure you check it out. Bond Speed Wheels on Instagram. Or Bond Speed Wheels on Facebook, or go to bondspeedwheels.com. Your best,
so
the best billet wheels made.
So Brad, maybe instead of me doing all this work, maybe we should just talk about making a 12 inch for the front and going up from a 10 and coming down from 14 to a 12 inch in the back to balance this thing out a little bit.
There you go. You could do that. I just made a set of wheels for a go-kart. I mean, not a go-kart, a golf cart, excuse me.
Oh, Yeah, there you go. Same size, aren't those
12s
or 13s?
Yeah. So.
All right. All right.
Alrighty. Hey, everybody. Yes, we'll talk. hey, everybody. check us out at shiftandsteer.com. And you can always listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us at our website or anywhere that most major podcasts are found. And you can find me, Brad Fanshaw, at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram, Brad Fanshaw on Twitter and Facebook. And Aaron, can they find you anywhere?
You know, I am hard to find. You have to dig down a deep cave and bring your own light, food, and water, because you can find me all over the place just under Aaron Hagar. It's a rabbit hole of fun. Yes, double A-Ron, rabbit hole of fun, Hagar. Yeah.
you know, Matt will be back next week, we think. As long as he gets his plane back, we should be good. And he'll tell us all about what he found at PRI.
Yes, excited to hear about that. How did I not know that all racing stuff? I thought it was some technology.
What did you think it was? Just another SEMA?
Yeah, I thought it was more like on the tech side or something. I don't know.
No, it's all racing. It's hardcore racing, man.
I've been missing out, man. Yeah. What the hell?
So... All right, everybody.
It's too late now.
Thanks for listening to Shift and Stare, and we'll be back here next week.
Awesome. Cheers.
He is.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.